I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking with Pastor Dan Howard from Hope Lutheran in Warren. And we want to bring Dan in to talk about young adult ministry. And as a church, I think you might agree that we do a decent job connecting with married couples and married people. But what about it when it comes to single people, especially young adults? And Pastor, thanks for joining us. I want to talk about those young adults, because in a recent study that I found in Barna, only 25% of those 18 to 35-year-olds were married. So that is a huge group of single people in this demographic. And how do we make that connection as a church? And that's what we're going to kind of dive into. And that's not easy, is it?
No, it's a challenge, especially when you consider the amount of that people move. Mm-hmm. That's a transient group that some go away to college and they just don't come back. And others come back and the community around them has changed so much from when they left.
So you and Hope Lutheran, you guys have started a young adult ministry. Tell us what you did and how it got going.
It was really neat. I started as a youth pastor, had a large group of high schoolers, did that for many years before I sort of came up into the head pastor position. So I had a lot of kids that I knew for a long time, but especially in this area, or maybe not especially in this area, 7 out of 10 of them went away to high school and just didn't come back. Mm-hmm. And the ones that did, well, I mean, I think we all sort of remember the awkwardness of, I would say 18 to 24, where you can sit at the adult table, but you don't feel welcome there because they're talking politics and everything else, and you don't want to be involved in that conversation. But if you go to the kids' table, they're talking about Ninja Turtles and Pokemon, and you don't feel welcome there either. You're just trapped in the middle. And coming into that and remembering that awkwardness, and then COVID created an environment where they social distancing was, I guess, a necessary thing at the time. But it also, I think, made them retreat into an online virtual world. And they realized they didn't like that either, because it was devoid of serious relationships. Especially, like you said, so many of them are single. Mm-hmm. And as Christians and Lutherans, they don't necessarily get attracted to the bar crowd, and the bowling alleys aren't open. Where do you go to date? And that's what I kept hearing. And that got amplified with a study that one of my gentlemen, Vince, brought up to me that said, hey, did you realize they just did a study? And the number one thing we're dealing with is loneliness. We don't know where to meet people. We don't know where to go to be social. When we do meet people, the places we're told to go don't line up with our values and our morals. So what do we do? And I sat down and I talked with him. And the first question that I had is, okay, I have to admit, I'm old enough now. I don't know what you want. What do you like to do? And they said, well, we'd really like space just to play board games. And since we're all in apartments and little houses and some still living with mom and dad, he goes, the things that I really want to do is I want to do board games, and I want to do it late at night, but in a place where I'm not bothering my family, my neighbors, things like that. So it became sort of a challenge of what we're doing here to meet. And we unlock the doors at 6 and they start coming in. And it's kind of funny. The first group leaves at around 11 o'clock. And it seems a whole new group comes in at 11 to midnight. And they'll play cards and games till 2, sometimes 3 in the morning. And they just, we give them the run of the fellowship hall. And yeah, it's been really neat to see. We had almost 35 come in this last time at one time in the room. And they bring their board games and their card games and more snacks than you can imagine. And they just sit and they enjoy each other's company. And what's been neat for me is Vince did an amazing job of going to other churches in the area, meeting with the pastors and saying, look, we're not trying to take your kids. We understand that this is sort of the gold standard of the church is how many young kids you have in a pew. We're not trying to take them. We're simply trying to work with you to provide space to serve this underrepresented demographic. And it's been really a blessing to see how it's grown, because now they are bringing non-churched friends. But it's taken about a year and a half to earn their trust to the point that they feel comfortable that there's not a hook hidden in this ministry.
Sure. Yeah. And it started with a question that you asked, right? What do you like to do? And from there, then you could start to be a little more intentional about trying to serve this demographic.
Yeah. I mean, it very much what do you want? And even now, I have found my biggest role in this is I'm a night owl, so this works for me, but I roll in at about midnight.
Even at that 3 a.m. time or 2 a.m.?
Once in a while, but those days are slowly fading.
Impressive.
But I'll come in late with a pile of snacks and a 12-pack of Mountain Dew, and I'll say hi, shake hands. Hey, can I pray for anything? And usually the answer is no at that time. But I also leave a stack of business cards that I've tailored just for that ministry behind. And, you know, it's my name, my email, you know, my phone number, but I also make sure it says on the card, it's okay to text me at this number. Mm-hmm. And I just leave those on the table. And the number of times that I have gotten emails or text messages later saying, hey, Pastor, can you pray for this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay. And I'll write a prayer out via text and I'll send it back to them, because I have found it takes 15 to 20 text message conversations before they suddenly go, okay, I trust you enough that can I call you? Can I come in? Can I see what it is? And what's been neat is as they've gathered and met and become more familiar, we're starting to see them be involved here for like Lenten services, but they're also going to other churches to do what other churches are doing, because it's friendships now. And I know they're doing volleyball at another area church, and they've gone down a few times to fish fries together. And for me, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I came out of Gen X. I remember the stories of the old Walther League and some of those old events that used to happen and the softball teams and things like that used to exist, that have just sort of fallen to the wayside as we as a community have distanced and then struggled to come back together. And sometimes staffing and budgeting doesn't allow for that to be a priority. I what I really love about this group is they're very self-sufficient. They just at the same time don't know what they're allowed to do. And sometimes all it takes is asking them what they want and then giving them permission to try.
So when you get a chance to build that relationship, and you don't obviously have to give specific examples or whatever it might be, but what do you hear regards in general to faith conversations that you have with this age group, the 18 to 35 year olds?
There's a lot of insecurity. If you stop and you really look at some of the major changes we've experienced over the last 20 years, 25 years, you have seen every institution just sort of rocked backwards. The schools are doing things differently. The banks are doing things differently. I mean, you can get into government and that's a whole can of worms. of what you can trust. But the church has got to admit that we've had our share too. Mm-hmm. An LCMS Lutheran may not look like an ELCA Lutheran. And you have the Catholic scandal on one side, and all of these things have really forced them to step back and go, okay, what is your definition of Christianity? Mm-hmm. And then to step back and say, okay, does your definition of Christianity meet what I was raised with? But then also, is it living and acting out and welcoming to me? And sometimes that question even goes a little further. Is it welcoming to those I call my friends? And as they have come out of public high schools and they've gotten sort of the full court press of the world's redefinition of everything, I think they're really struggling at a time when they're asking, who am I? They're mm-hmm. also asking, who is the church? Mm-hmm. And while I am not an advocate for, let's redefine the church, I think one of the blessings that we have is our unchanging confession, that the world has changed, but our confession hasn't. Now maybe our presentation can change, but Christ alone, Christ first in everything, this is what we believe, mm-hmm. and we want you to be a part of it. And I think that's really intimidating for that demographic, because you add the awkwardness of being in that middle age of not fitting in either camps. And then you also add to it, they walk into a church where they realize they are the minority when it comes to the age demographics. And it's really easy to go, you know what, maybe I'll just watch online, or maybe I'll go look somewhere else where there are more people that understand where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
And so, that's hard.
Yeah. So we're living in this post-Christian culture. I think you probably agree with that.
Yeah.
Are you finding that maybe these young people have in some way given up on church, but maybe haven't given up on God, though?
I think that's the challenge of this day and age. Mm-hmm. I mean, my generation in high school in the 90s, I think really hit the, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. And you watched that shift now from what the consumerism that is pushed into it. Of now I can be spiritual, but I can get my spirituality filled in various different ways, YouTube being the low-hanging fruit to pick on, but any one of those online groups where I can become a member. And again, I think this is where our Lutheran theology is so rich and wonderful in this area, because we focus on word and sacrament and the physical presence, and that allows us really to there is something more here when we gather, mm-hmm. and the need to gather. And I think that ties into our German Lutheran heritage as well. I mean, Germans gather. We celebrate. I mean, I always laugh. I have a lot of friends who are outside the synod, and they still say, nobody potlucks like German Lutherans. And I think in a lot of ways we have forgotten that fellowship is essential to building the family, especially to a generation that may not have grown up around a family dinner table. Some of our greatest moments of our childhood are there in eating and fellowship. And I think we try to make something a program that really just has to be a family table.
Yeah.
Or in our case, a board game table.
Yeah. So you talk about what can work in connecting with the young adults. What do you find doesn't work?
I will tell you, as a generation that is steeped in online offers, bait and switch, and you know, where is the hook? What is your angle? What are you trying to sell me, or what do you want me to vote for? The minute that they get any sort of hint that you're not being authentic, they're gone. The minute they think you're farming them for numbers. And that was actually as we started some of the challenge, because when they started and there was only 6, 7, 8 of them, well, you know, this ministry's failing. No, it's starting. It's not failing. It's kind of like any teenager, I guess, when you want to throw a party, you invite the whole school and you expect the whole school to show up. To encourage them and say, you know what, that this is who and what we are. You get 6 kids, great. I get to start with a smaller budget, but it doesn't mean you're less important. And just to encourage them and to give them the hope that comes with it. Because like you started this with, one of the biggest struggles that a lot of them have is, okay, where am I going to meet my spouse? And like right now, the big challenge is, and if you've got young, you know, anybody out there with a young lady you're looking to find a young man for, send them out here to Warren. I have I heard rumors that long time ago it used to be there were women in the church and no men. I'd love to have that problem here for these guys, because I have a lot of good guys. But they don't know where to go to meet Christian ladies. And it's been interesting. What's been kind of fun to watch is sort of a sidetrack here is the ones who are married, the ladies are bringing their friends because it's a safe environment. And the girls that are coming into this ministry are friends of the wives of the men who are in this ministry. So it's been a very interesting dynamic to watch and shift as this happens.
Yeah, that's interesting, because now that you say that, when I think of the church where I'm at, I do see some of those young adults taking up leadership roles, and whether it's working or children, whatever it may be. I'm not sure I see as many young women in those roles now. So yeah, that you say that. And the other point I wanted to talk about is those real conversations and authenticity and what's happening in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think you probably have to agree, a lot of it has to come back with us listening. Right?
Yes.
And that's, I know in dealing with my kids, who I've got 2 teenagers, I find I'm telling them what to do and not listening to what their issues might be.
Well, and that's where the business cards and giving them my cell phone number to text with, I think has really helped a lot. Because I think when they send those texts over and I reply with a prayer, or a reference, or, you know, that's the other thing I get is I get a ton of, will you give me a reference, pastor, for a job? When you get those, they know you're listening. And at that point now, you've listened enough that I want your opinion. And opinions quickly grow to friendships. And friendships eventually, I think, become the, okay, I have trusted you with my reputation. I have trusted you with my physical well-being. I've trusted you with things that are emotionally bothering me. Now, finally, I'll unlock the door and I'll trust you with my spiritual care as well. And I think that's what we hold on to, because I think deep down we know at a spiritual level, the damage that's there lasts a long time. And they turn around and again, they see all of the uncertainty in the world and in the church with a lot of these social issues. And I think they're nervous that they'll like a place or get connected to an organization. And then it becomes the next thing they need to justify to their friends or back out on because of whatever stand it has to take. And I'm not saying you don't make a stand. There are times for that. But there's also, I guess for me, for youth ministry, is one of the lies we have to confront, especially in the realm of evangelism, is you don't see a lot of Saul gets knocked off his horse, suddenly becomes Paul, he's Lutheran Christian, moving on, great. These conversations take place over weeks and months and years, and sometimes over multiple years before you actually can meet them where they're at and bring them into a relationship. And sometimes, and what's been amazing to me in my years of youth ministry, is the one you look at and you go, man, the Lord's got to work overtime. I'm not sure that sheep's coming back. They're the ones that the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of later. And they go, hey, remember when you told me this years ago? That's what brought me back here. And I think we can't rush this. It is such a unique ministry because it is so transient and the turnover is high, but you don't realize that one conversation you have over a hot and ready pizza that you thought was meaningless somehow becomes something they needed and will bring them back into maybe a different church later. But you saved them then. And they don't forget that.
So with the ministry that you're currently in right now, do you have a contact or a way that young people can get involved and kind of show up for the game night and take part?
We do it. It's the fourth Friday of every month. And doors open at about 6:30 for Bible study. By 7:30, they are into whatever board games or movies they're watching. By about 10 o'clock, they've gone through a Little Caesar's worth of pizza. And I mean, they stay till the last one leaves. And if you're really interested in more, you can hit up our website at hopewarren.com and find all of the information there. Or check out our Facebook page too, Hope Lutheran. We're the one in Warren, Michigan. And by all means, if you really want, feel free to reach out to me as well. That's Pastor Dan at hopewarren.com.
Awesome. Pastor Dan Howard, so cool to hear about this Christian community that's happening there. Really, really nice. And it's an awesome and, as we talked about, much needed ministry for sure.
God is working in strange ways, and it is neat to see because he's doing the same thing he's always done, calling his sheep. But, you know, he's using things that we wouldn't expect, and it's neat to see what he's doing in this generation.
Well, we want to thank you so much for your time and God's blessings, too.
Thanks for having me. God bless you and your ministry as well.
And thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day.